Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good evening. And welcome to tonight's episode of Ought to Know Better. It's the main podcast. It's season 3, episode 28, would you believe? I'm joined tonight by Luke. How are you doing?
Good evening. I'm all right, mate. Thank you. That decent Monday at work. Didn't threaten to chin anybody yesterday after weekend's results. So as Mondays go, I'm pretty chuffed, yeah.
Was that Tuesday evening? Well. Is that a Villa reference? Days.
Good evening. Yeah, it's
evening. Is that a Villa reference?
it wasn't particularly. It was more just an evening. I'm in
fair enough.
Good mood.
Excellent. Enough. And Jay without a hat tonight. I'm the only one without a hat as well. Done your hair and everything. How are you doing?
I'm not bad, mate. Now that I've had an haircut, I don't have to hide it all the time, so it's all right. So it looked fucking
I'd
ridiculous
still hide that.
You would say that, mate. You ought to get a fucking jibe in with your bald fucking buns. Piss off.
Right, yeah,
I'm good, or I want to look him on here.
On that positive note, we'll get an intro going and we'll get into it.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Or some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
You tentel play it a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Nothing spectacular, really. It's just so succinct and accurate, isn't it?
It is. It's tosses in a pub.
I don't know how much the people watching heard of that that intro, the beep, beep, beep. But I felt like I was back in hospital just coming out of my operation. Not triage, what's it called? In resus, not resus, what's it called when you sort of get better? And then
it is resus, isn't it? Resuscitation, when you...
No, that's when they actually resuscitated you, but it's recovery, I suppose.
Yeah, recovery suite.
I think Robert liked it anyway. Robert said it's awesome. I assume it means the countdown.
I don't think many people saw the countdown because
I think it went from 1 second to 0 second, and at that point it went from 0 to 17 people watching instantly.
It's the adverts on YouTube. When there was 3 or 4 joining, we've made it now, boys. I've even got my own fan club. I'd like to just put it out there. Which brand my fan club is this? Because I know there's a few now knocking about, so I just want to know where you're from. What, you know, what branch are you?
If you female, what's your number?
Jay, anyone for Jay? Jay's happy.
Oh, I'm all good, mate. I'm all good. I don't need any randomers. I've got enough trouble with my own psychiatric.
And if it's you, Jammy,
or at least you did until just then.
And if it's not you, Jammy, don't get jealous.
Right, okay. We're going to get into it. We'll start off with predictions this week.
Ought to Know Better predictions.
So there's quite a few updates on this one. So nobody except the people that didn't give me a prediction ended up not changing at all in terms of their points value. I'll start with the minuses first, and I'll start with the -5 first. So Jason went 2-0 Wolves, So he gets himself a big sweep, minus five. That actually, he was in joint third place with me, behind Luke and yourself, Jay. So that obviously that drops him down somewhat. Luke went with a draw, minus 3 points. And Smarty went with a draw as well, minus 3 points. So the
Leeds
ones...
Leeds hating bastards.
That's it. So the one-pointers, Stats, Skip of the fans, Joe and myself and Big Lou all went with a Leeds win, but we didn't get the right difference or the right scoreline. Nobody got the full 5 points this week, so the top earners on 3 points each were Carl, Bren and Jay. Unfortunately, the bad news, what this does to us now is that puts Jay 14 points clear at the top of the league.
Come on!
On 25 points. I'm in second place on 11. Carl jumps up to third place on 10. Luke drops by virtue of his minus three down to 9 points. So that's fourth place. Jason has gone from 10 points to 5. Stats is on 5 as well. Joe's on 4 with Bren. And then the fans are on 2. Sai and Scotty are on 0. Smart is on minus 5. And Big Lou of LS11 fame is on minus 14 points.
That middle group is almost like the bottom half of the Premier League. It is. That tight.
It is, yeah.
No, one win, and he can, I was flying in second, joint second. And look, no faith in the boys. You drop down. I mean, now in fourth place.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that Smarty gave Jay loads of shit for being positive. And you've got, what, 8 points in a week, is it? Or in two fixtures?
Something like that, yeah. He's gone in there on me. He's, like, slagged me off, made out like I'm just making it up because, you know, I don't really believe it and all this shit. But, hey, it's working, mate. It's working. And for the first time in my entire life, the ripe old age of 41, I might win something as a sporty context.
I mean, there's lots of moves and changes possible yet.
Yeah, were you the kid who was picked last on like PE and like football at dinner time? And I imagine you were.
Depends who else were there.
Was there like one or two others that used to be a saviour, like of embarrassment? Yeah.
Basically.
But if they didn't want to play, it was like, fuck's sake, Jay, can you go in goal?
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much. Hey, what can you say?
Okay.
We've seen you play football, so it's okay to say that. We've seen
yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah. I can't lie to you guys.
Like Boris Johnson when he rugby tackled that fella.
Well, we've never actually watched a game in the stands together because there's all sorts of hugs go on when a goal goes in. I think the only time Jay's ever hugged me is when I turned up having missed the first of the five-a-side games and he was so relieved that there were going to be a sub available. He just gave me a big hug. Yeah. I'm really glad you're here.
Did a couple of sprints. I thought, that's me done. That's it. I'm fucked. Yeah.
Didn't your kid brother turn up at the same time, Luke? So I think there were seven of us in total, weren't there? But the two of us missed the first of three games, so you were all knackered by the time me and him got there.
Absolutely. Oh, man, honestly. I was playing with one knee, to the best of my ability. We played against a few lads off Twitter and that, and it got a bit tasty at times, actually, didn't it?
It did, didn't it? Yeah.
I don't know what you mean.
I loved it. I was threatening to throw bombs to other people and they'd just met off Twitter. I was like, shut up, you little fuck.
Didn't you send someone flying, Gilly?
Well, I might. I mean, flying, I think, is maybe an exaggeration.
He tried to foul you, wasn't it? He tried to foul you, I think. And you sent him flying.
No, he were backing into me and I kind of just nudged him, but he were half my weight, so he flew forward a bit. And then he injured himself trying to show us, right, okay, then I'm going to show you. And then he pulled a hammy.
That's the one.
It was a cold night.
Smart is on his burner account tonight, I see. Asking where his self is.
just to be involved. Bless him. Bless him. So the three of us were on BNC after the game anyway. So we've already had an opportunity to discuss. But given some of the fallout that we've had and given it a bit of time to reflect on the game, I think you were both there as well. So maybe a chance to see back some of the actual coverage and highlights and so on. I'll come to you first, Luke. How are you feeling about the game now?
Exactly the same, mate. In fact, probably a little bit happier with the 3 points than when I were there. You know, when you go 3-0 up against a side away from home, you sort of I was always thinking that we were always going to, you know, give them a chance. We're going to do it the hard way. But 3-0 up away from home, having seen the highlights in the game back and, you know, bits and pieces all over Twitter and stuff, you know, Wolves came at us. And we were lucky in some respects that we went 3-0 up. We were almost the opposite of what we've been recently in terms of clinical. Everything we hit was just went in, you know. And everything Wolves hit just didn't go in, you know. It was you know, some great saves. So yeah, look, I think on reflection and having, you know, a day or two to calm down and get my voice back and whatever else, it was I'm more than happy with the 3 points. And I think on another day, it could have been an alternate scoreline that, but you know, it's one team takes a chance as one team doesn't. It wasn't as sort of bread and butter as probably what the scoreline when we're 3-0 up would suggest.
Absolutely not. Yeah. I'd have to totally agree with you there. That game, it was more how the fuck are we 3-0 up than fucking hell, we're killing them with 3-0 up, you know. It was just bonkers, wasn't it? We couldn't pass again. We couldn't pass to each other. The amount of pressure that we put on ourselves just from giving them the ball back, it was just unreal. And we didn't seem to make enough progress with the ball before we gave it back. We weren't getting away from our own box at some points. So we were just sort of in that middle bit between the centre and the edge of our area and just giving them it back from there and not progressing any further. And it was frustrating that, but at the end of the day, it's getting the goals that matters, and we did that up until a point.
Didn't have to make it fucking hard for ourselves, though. Even with 3-0, you should be coasting, shouldn't you? Do you know,
you should be
3-0 away from home. They always looked dangerous. I mean, they had a couple of good attacks, and you know, but we seemed to nullify them quite well. Even looking back, with, you know, even the chances they got were from scrappy goal mouth scraps. Scrappy goal mouth scraps.
I keep the edging ball out, and then our midfielder picking out one of their players.
Yeah, and the better chances that they had. Oh, fucking hell! Siri just said, "Who do you want to call?" Ghostbusters. The fucking lost my train of thought. But yeah, basically, what I'm trying to say is that they almost capitalized on the more difficult chances, the easier chances they had, they didn't put away. And had they done, I think we might have been looking at a bit of a different story. But look, still going to credit the lads and their resilience just to stick it out and, you know, really, really stick it out. And under another manager, who knows, or on another day, who knows, we might have been here talking about a loss, loss to Wolves or at worst a draw. Or at best a draw, sorry.
No, I get that. I thought Liam just calling out there, Melia safe from Neves was world class. I think that's the one that were almost point blank, wasn't it? And he had the big strong arm.
That weren't Neves, that was Jimenez, I think.
Was it? That was for me. I saw that. Obviously, I was watching/listening on international radio streams and you know, the instant it was played back, you're thinking, how on earth has he kept that out? I think, looking back, it was that, and you know, you're right to say about the fact that we've not been clinical over the past few games, past lots of games we've not been clinical, have we? So it's good to see
the season.
Yeah, it is good to see, but equally, you know, that word resilience has popped up what, 3 or 4 weeks on the bounce now. Because you know we've gone behind, or there's been difficult moments in games. Don't want to talk about moments too much. I want to steer clear of that now.
Let's celebrate
those moments. You're never going to be. I think we talked about it last week and said you're never going to be on top. It doesn't matter who you play. At some point, whoever you're playing against is going to be on top in a game, and it's getting through those elements and being as compact as you can be when you're not on top. And then making it count when you are. So I think we did that really well. Just in terms of some of the fallout that we've seen from the game, I don't know if everybody's been on Twitter since. I've had a lot of fun with this fan base. I really have. It's been fantastic. Great. There's been deactivated accounts and bans and lots and lots and lots of tears. But if we look at one specific element, I don't know. I'll come to one of you if you've had an opportunity to see it. But have you seen the Nunes red card offence? Have you had an opportunity to see it? The guy that were on the sideline and got sent off.
He's out of his technical area, firstly, and the linesman backs into him. Linesman then takes himself onto the pitch away from it and sends him off. Now, I don't know whether it'll get overturned. I don't know what the rules are about being outside your technical area as a substitute. I don't know. But it seemed very harsh.
I think, casting my mind back, I think it's somebody mentioned it and I'm trying to remember the name. I think Willie got booked for that, for being out of the technical area after he'd been subbed off on in a game.
Right.
Because somebody scored and he went and celebrated and he got booked for leaving the technical area. So I think the laws of the game state that you get booked for that. Now, I think when you look back, it has been overturned. I was about to say, I think you can see it being overturned on the principle of if the lino's backed into him and then fallen over, you know, that's he's dived, you know,
needs not exactly a Mitrovic, is it?
It's not.
God, no.
But I can't see either of the other two red cards being overturned.
cheers, Jay.
Cheers, everyone. I can't see either of the other two being rescinded. So, I think there's been lots of talk. You know, we've had issue in the past with the officiating and the decision making and the VAR and whatever else. And to be fair, I can see why a club would. The fan base would have issue with it because we've had issue with it lots. You know, we want more transparency. We want a lot of the things that the Wolves fans have been saying. My response to the Wolves fans has been, but you've got the weight of the decisions in your favour. And they've not liked that. They've not liked that.
They think that there's a conspiracy against them, don't they? They think they're out to get them, like actually out to get them.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, to me, I didn't think the ref had a great game, to be honest. I thought he was.
No, we touched
a bit
upon that.
For both sides,
it wasn't great. It wasn't. I think Gilly went into detail on Sunday about him getting the big decisions right, and I think we can all probably agree. Potentially, the majority did. I mean, we've obviously seen that the Nunes red card was the wrong decision. I suggest that would probably have come from the linesman anyway. I haven't had much to do with Wolves fans on Twitter. I haven't been on Twitter much, in fairness, recently. But my one comment was today, and it was just quite a simple message, really. It was just crime or dickhead.
I were talking to.
That was it. That's all I had to say about the situation. They've just literally. I've read a few. You know, I've read a few threads and that on there about. I don't know, them going into detail about how they're so hard done to, and you know, they're such a moaning set of bastards, man.
It's terrible, isn't it?
I just couldn't. I didn't have the energy to waste on just replying to them because I could get right into it, and I love it sometimes. But at the minute, I just thought, you don't even deserve it. You're having three words.
That's it. And that guy that you said that to, I were also engaging with him, and then he started throwing C bombs and stuff at me, so I knew I'd beaten him anyway. So he was another one because I've seen somebody else as well, same argument, and they were like, you beat us twice but you're still behind us, and it's like, we've got a game in hand on you. Like, you celebrating.
Don't point out
that
that's against Arsenal though.
Well, that doesn't matter.
It's not. It's against Forest.
But you're celebrating that like it's this achievement. Oh, we're still above you. But when we're on level games, you might not be. So it's not really an arguing point, is it?
Yeah. It's not the win you think it is. Yeah.
Exactly.
No. I just popped a comment there up. Jay, my mate's a Villa fan, and he said his favourite game of the season is Wolves versus Leeds, just because how rattled we get their fans. Well, I love that.
We do it to every fan. Villa fans can't talk.
No, that one's crazy, you know what I mean?
We do it to everybody. Everybody fucking hates us, and
we love it. We
thrive off it. I thrive off it. I love when it does feel better when they ask who I support, and I say Leeds, and I see them, their face screw up.
Just wintered it.
I absolutely love it. I just think, yeah, exactly. You know, dickhead.
So you know.
You know.
And you know, that thing, when Bielsa first came in and everybody go, oh, I love watching Leeds, it's my second team. No, we don't want any of that. Nah. Vile animals is what we are. We want you to hate us. Because that thrive, that's what you said. Yeah.
It almost, when we were second, everyone's second, I hated it. I loved the Bielsa era, But I hated that we were everyone's second team and people were complimenting, ooh, aren't Leeds nice to watch? Aren't Leeds a lovely bunch? Fuck off. Don't Leeds give your goals back. Yeah, Villa. Fuck you.
Yeah, we don't want any of their platitudes. They can get fucked with all that.
Nah, it's back to being, you know, everybody hates us. We're in a relegation battle with almost half the league. Every fan base hates us, including the top half. Fuck them all.
Absolutely.
And it pretty much is half the league. If you look at, you know, the bottom nine. So I think it's Villa in 11th, isn't it, and Chelsea in 10th. But the joint on points. But yeah, you've got it's so interchangeable at the minute that usually at this point you're able to call for definite one, maybe two are down, are gone. You know, they've been cut adrift, they're 10, 11 points behind, and you just can't see them coming back from there. And actually, it's just so close that we're not in that sort of situation. And there was a conversation that took place on Twitter today about what's the threshold going to be, and there were some people saying, well, I want 40-41 points. I think we need 41 to be safe.
No chance.
I don't think it'll be anywhere near 41 this season.
In the comments around that, lowest Robert Wetzel, lowest points for 12 since 95-96 was 42 points, 538 predicting 41. Is that for 12th position? 41 points to finish in 12th, I think he's suggesting there, isn't he?
He's saying that, yes.
Yeah.
That's how it reads.
Yeah.
538 is the one, the website that does the soccer power index, isn't it?
That's it, yeah.
I've seen that today, and I think that we were 17%, I think, likely to be one of the ones relegated. I think Leicester were above us on 10. I can't remember who else were above us, and everybody else in that bottom pack, they were all below us. You know, so in terms of odds, in terms of percentages, it's looking pretty good at the minute. I think 17th could even be as low as 34, 35 points this season.
Yeah, I do.
Now, I'm not saying that I want us to be in that situation, but I think that could see a side stay up this time.
Let's get some points on board and not another. Try and cut it fine.
Another benefit we've got as well is, although we were fucking bonkers and played mental football under Marsh for the majority of the season, our goal, if we only lost goals by the odd game, our goal difference, I think, is -9 from memory.
And Leicester and West Ham, very similar. Everybody else is in nightmare.
Leicester are -9, West Ham are -10. The rest of them, the fucked compared to that.
Yeah. And that's massive. You know, if it comes down to it, end of the season, it's worth a point. That's massive.
Well, how much we were shitting it last season because of our goal difference being so bad. It could have relegated us, and this time it could keep us up. So,
have we improved then, Jay?
Have we improved? Oof.
We had a better side available to us the more of the season, I'd argue.
I'd say marginally. Marginally.
You only think we've improved marginally?
No, I mean, in an overall, from then to now. If you're asking me if we've improved since Grassi
last
came in, then I would say in the last five games.
I'm talking about in terms of where we are this season to sort of last season when the chop happened, you know, because our goal difference is so far superior to that last year.
But which is what I thought you meant.
Yeah, which is exactly what I meant. But however, we've got to take into account the players we had available to Marcelo and to Jesse Marsh, which is chalk and cheese. So yeah, look, it's a totally different argument. We could probably do a full hour on that, in fairness.
Over the course of the time, I'd say marginally, but I'm optimistic that it's going to get a lot better going forward.
I don't think the football's improved, but I think the squad has improved dramatically.
The tactical intelligence is the biggest thing that we've got from Gracia so far. We just didn't have that with Marsh at all, did we? So
no, we didn't have that from.
It's a big improvement for me.
I saw this coming as soon as you said that, Luke.
I'm going to eat my words here, but we didn't even have that with Marcelo. He had a plan A, and his plan B was to do plan A 10 times better
but
anyway.
The way he did plan A was so good.
Yeah, it was when it worked, Jay. But we all loved Marcelo. We loved what he did for the club. And I don't want to, I mean, we're talking sort of over a year ago now. I don't want to get into it too much, but ultimately that plan didn't work in the Premier League the second year. Teams worked out how to play against it, and we had a poor squad that couldn't do it. And ultimately, it came back and bit us on the arse.
Faith in some of the players.
With Gracia, which I don't want to go into too much now, because we're going to do a poll very, very shortly, I should imagine. But with Gracia, we almost feel like we've got a new number of plans, you know, half the alphabet's worth of plans that we can, you know, change and shapeshift.
Yeah.
Hang on. Somebody just, Jay has a Bielsa poster.
If you take the watermark away, it's behind it, look.
It's mine.
Oh, there we go, yeah. So we all do.
We all love him.
And rightly so.
The fact it went tits up will never change how much we love him. Hang on. For what he did for the club.
Jay still has a Jerry Halliwell poster up.
that's rolled up. That's rolled up. Put away.
It's not rolled up, mate. It's crusted up.
Like your bed sheets.
Let's get off your bed sheets.
Full of DNA, that poster.
Bed sheet.
It's already breeding a little mini Jay.
Fucking hell.
So just to try and segue away from that quickly, we'll just pull up the next element, the next segment of the show.
Well,
Twitter poll results.
Before we do that,
go on, Jay, you do it.
Doing that.
Yeah, I just made a little something to just cheer everyone up and give everyone a little laugh.
Speaking
after,
of salty.
After the Wolves stuff. where the hell has it gone? There it is. Just so you know, for some reason, it's a bit louder than we are, so don't jump out your skin when it plays, but enjoy.
Don't give him a warning.
That's been over...
What? Freaking referee! He's a... about corruption in this game. It's an absolute joke, this is. And if you're Leeds fans, you're probably laughing and laughing at the fair word by Leeds as such. But like, it's a joke. Wolves don't get any decisions. It's an absolute, complete and utter joke. It's a joke. I'd walk off the damn pitch. Well, it's a joke. Who's he sent off there? It's a joke. Absolute pathetic.
Oh, I've got to say,
it's
I really,
a joke.
It. I really
a joke.
Enjoyed making
Walk
that.
Off the pitch.
I really enjoyed making that. I hope if he sees it, he sees the funny side, the lad. It's a channel called, I think it was Always Wolves TV, but yeah, he made me laugh. I could have gone for ages with some of his.
It's a joke.
I wonder if he thought it was a joke.
Who's he sending off now?
Yeah. Look, I have to admit though, just before we wrap up on the Wolves stuff, the Wolves fans were very up and down. I mean, from the outset, they were all, you know, giving it all. Even at 1-0 down, 2-0 down, there was a particular couple that I kept my eye on all the time, and I think they must have been father and son, and they were so animated, just going for it, absolutely going for it. But given their due. When they got it back to 3-2, that is the loudest away day I've been to in a long, long time. Since we've been back in the Premiership, from what I can remember.
And to say that, well, we've only about three quarters of the fans because some of them left at 3-0. So
spot on, yeah.
And they were sat.
We were just having a quick look through. Somebody'd made the point. I can't see it now, but yeah, somebody in the comments. So well done, whoever said it in the comments, because they were saying it was. It was a good away day and some of the loudest fans that we've seen.
It's a bit arsehole.
So laid him along.
Not entirely wrong, but a bit arse.
I will try this bit again.
Twitter poll results.
I was just about to tell you, I'm not ready. I've not got the tweet up, but I have. I've saved it. Each week we ask... listeners through Twitter, through way of poll, to choose the main subject for the pod, which is the meat or the shit sandwich that we like to call it on here. So this week from the following, we will ask you to decide between football finances, which clubs are struggling financially, does Gratia stay in the summer if we stay up? And the final one was, when will the Ellen Road renovations or new building work start? In last place, as expected. No paddles in Shit Creek. The one about financially, we don't care. We're financially stable, as we understand. Who gives a fuck about them lot? They didn't about us. second place with 39% of the votes was Ellen Road versus Chernobyl. Something about renovations and that sort of thing. And the winning option this week in the poll was a grassy ass for Gratia. So, yeah, does Gratia stay in the summer if we stay up, and why? I'll start that with you, Gilly, actually, because you've been very busy just keeping me and Jay under wraps this evening. I think that it's now your turn to speak and tell us what you really think. Not about me and Jay, though.
No, that will be on for far too long for that.
It's not for a
I've got so much respect for you both. I think...
Not angry, he's disappointed.
I think for me, you know, we look at last season and we look at Marsh and we look at what happened this season, even though I'll say he kept us up, although I think it's just we stayed. It was Rafinha and Newcastle that kept us up. But we stayed up last season and therefore he got the job. So I don't necessarily think it should be an automatic, well, you've kept us up and therefore you're in. That said, I think that the adaptability that we've seen from him so far shows enough nous and enough tactical awareness. He's an astute manager. I think he speaks well. I think if you look at, I don't know if you saw it, but the way that he was interacting with Paddy, I think there were a post came out Saturday night with some pictures of him. Not that sort of pictures. They were just hugging. I think he's built a rapport with the side really, really quickly. I think he's also got the fans on side really quite quickly. Now, that is by virtue of the results he's getting on the pitch, nothing else. Because that's what we needed to see. That is all we needed to see, was getting the results, getting the points on the board. I think it wouldn't have mattered. You know, you could have brought in, Bielsa aside, you could have brought in a true elite coach that we all immediately identified with and said, yes, that's amazing. 4 defeats on the bounce from that point, and we wouldn't be anything like as happy as we are now. It was all about results. He's getting them. So I think for me, it shouldn't be an automatic qualification, and it should be what's best for the club. And if there is another person that's available that's a better person for the job, so be it. I definitely wouldn't be against it, because I think we've seen enough from him that he's going to be able to make a positive impact beyond the end of this season as well.
Okay. I mean, I totally respect your opinion. I mean, who do you think then? If who was available, what I don't want to see happen, and I'll come on to this when I give you my thoughts on it. But what I don't want to see happen is somebody do a fucking smashing job with us and then give it to somebody because they feel it's the best option. You know, somebody they've identified earlier, Iriola, who didn't want to come here, you know, the guy from Holland, and others.
Slot.
And what, although they might have better resumes and win their leagues, the prospective leagues, albeit they've both dropped off massively in their leagues recently since the links.
I don't think Slot has he?
I think he has. I think
Ajax. Didn't he absolutely wallop somebody at weekend?
Ajax, I can't remember anyway. But I still think they've dropped off in some respect. I think Feyenoord are now second in the league or somebody. I think they were 15 points clear or something like that. And now somebody, Eindhoven caught them, or the other way around. I can't remember anyway. But what I don't want to see happen is you know, a disrespect for somebody who has ultimately changed the shape of our fortune this season, because let's face it, things were improving footbally. Things were improving in terms of the football under Marsh, but we weren't getting results. There were a team without confidence, and we weren't getting there. And a change was needed. No matter how much you love Jesse Marsh, no matter what you thought he brought, it wasn't working. Gratia's come in. And albeit we've only got a small sample size, you know, we've only played four league games since. But if he steers us to safety this season, based on the horrific form we were in, I can't say how he's not given at least half a season next season.
Yeah, and you know, I think my point. So if he keeps up, so what's 7 points from 4 games? If he does that from now to the end of the season, then you know I've no qualms at all about him staying on. I think it does depend on the manner as well, doesn't it? You know, we went into the Brentford game last season absolutely needing a result. If we're in that situation at the end of the season, we stay up on goal difference or whatever, I'll feel really differently. If he takes us to a 12th, 13th, 14th place finish, and do you know what, two games from the end of the season were comfortable, then I'll be, you know, it's madness to change. He clearly has got something about him and he knows what he's doing and he's working with his squad. So yeah. you'd stick rather than twisting. If it's a different manner of staying up and it's really squeaky bum time at the end of the season, needing a result on last day, maybe I'll feel differently about it. But I think it also, you know, if you can go out and get a proper elite coach and pay Champions League level money because you've got investment coming into the squad over the summer and what have you, I've you know, over the course of his career, I think he's averaged somewhere between 18 and 20 months at each club he's been at. So he's not a long-term person. So if long-term for him is all next season and that sets us up for success for the following season, great. You're fine.
Yeah, no. I completely agree. But neither was Marcelo.
Yeah.
I think Emmy's hit the nose on the head. Hit the what's the fucking saying?
Hit it on the nose.
Hit the hammer on the head. Hit the nail on the head.
Jesus Christ!
With this, we need a change. On the head.
Gilly, we're just going to leave you struggling for a bit longer.
Stage, we need a change now. We need some consistency. You know, you've seen all the successful clubs have consistency. You know, Potter with Brighton until he left recently. Thomas Frank is doing a great job at Brentford. Marco Silva. The teams that are doing well in the league are the teams that have had a relative amount of consistency and built on it. Now, do I think Gracchi is the
long-term vision?
Yeah, do I think Gracchi is the person to take us forward and you know push us towards? To push us towards Europe, probably not. It depends on, you know, I think he's very much a type of manager who can come in and he can shape things for, you know, for to support with the, you know, relegation battles and things like that. Do I think he's tactically good enough to manage at a higher level? We'll never know because he's not been at that level yet. But as Gilly rightly says, if we stay up this year, the likelihood is that we're taken over by 49ers. And if we're to believe everything we're told, there'll be a massive, massive influx of funds. That, you know, in terms of for playing staff, but also renovations and everything else that goes with it. So yeah, I'm very much, although I've slammed you there, Gilly, I'm sort of with you now thinking about the finances. Is he a good enough manager to, you know, to encourage players to come and join us? Is he a pull? Is he a pull?
He also was such a massive draw. Pochettino would be a draw. You know, the elite managers that have coached in the Champions League and expect a team to be moving towards that if they're not already there will be a draw for elite players. Will Gracia be a draw?
Great call this. Arteta at Arsenal, he was struggling like fuck. You know, there was fans...
Look at the scum. The scum were going to sack a Taggart and the Poxter a cup win and then stuck with him. But that also doesn't mean that you just stick with somebody long term and you'll always get success. So no, it needs to be the right appointment as well, doesn't it? So, you know, I think from Arteta's perspective, I think the Arsenal board always seemed to feel that they had the right man in place and they had the confidence that he was going to have that longer term benefit. And you know, the messages that they were giving was have patience because that we're building something and we're building something together. And then, you know, they make signings like bringing in Jesus and so on. And they were Zinchenko as well, and he's done well since he went in. And they were signing class players and they were doing it and taking them from Man City as well, which is strange. So I think it's a really difficult one. I think if he keeps us up, we'll all feel positively about him because he did that. But I feel like now I'm rambling a little bit and I've not let Jay speak at all. So
it's all right.
Go for it, Jay. What's your thoughts?
I used to talk too much in old days, so these days I just sit and let you lot go. I thought you guys have said a lot of what I think, to be honest, and I'm sort of I'm torn in that way that if he keeps us up, I feel like he's kind of earned the right to have a crack at a proper season with us. But the flip side of that is the 49ers coming in. You know, if they complete, what do they want? What are their ambitions? How much money do they want to spend? Are they going to want a bigger name that they think can bring bigger players? Or are they going to be happy to just continue on a more organic path, keep Grazia in charge and just sign sort of two or three players a bit better than what we've got now and try and sort of grow more naturally and steadily? It depends what they want. I think if he keeps us up, he does kind of earn a right. But as you guys said, if somebody really top quality becomes available and they want to come and manage us, it's a difficult one to turn down, isn't it?
It is. And there's also this point that's coming from Skip, Jay, about him. He wasn't first choice. He was almost sort of fourth or fifth choice. And he you know, he's put... But that sort of determination, for me, screams volumes.
Yeah. You can't say that he's come into it blind. But on the other hand, I'd be shocked if any manager went into a short-term deal not thinking, I'm going to show him what I can do and get a long-term deal.
That's right, yeah. I mean, and you've only got to look back to his first... press conference, and the only questions that were coming from the fucking idiotic journals were around, so what's a flexible contract? What does that mean for you? He doesn't care about
that.
He's got a goal and a job, do you know what I mean? And his goal and job is to improve Leeds United. That is his job. Whether it's, you know, to try and get a longer contract after that or to put on his CV, because it'll look great on his CV from the situation we were in. And if he keeps us up and keeps us up comfortably as well, I'm not suggesting that we're up. Please don't hold me to this or anything else. But
you've got to snip that.
Yeah. If we continue playing the style of football, you know, the adaptive football, the change football, I think we'll have no problem staying up. I'll say that out loud now. But yeah, if he comes in and does that, even if he's not number one choice in the summer for the 49ers, if they take over, he is still going to come out of it with a good job, even potentially in the Premier League.
He'll be an awesome part of Leeds United history because he kept us up. His stock will have gone up. He'll have shown that he can.
Is Marsh an awesome part of Leeds United history?
He absolutely is not.
He's got survival on his record. Kept us up last season.
Yeah, but it wasn't awesome. Anyway, stop tripping me up on what I'm saying. Just let me talk. So, yeah, I mean, before you threw me off completely, his stock's gone up and. Like, it's a no-lose for Grazia in a way, because when he came to us, we looked dead and buried. We looked like we were on our way. And if we go down, people just say, yeah, well, they were shit, weren't they? He could never turn that around.
He's not got a lot to lose, has he?
No.
Let's be honest, he looks like
a fucking miracle worker. And then he can start getting them jobs every fucking January that Big Sam used to get. And he can just do that if he wants for a living.
Putting himself on a career out of it. And trying to get... Like Benitez fishing for jobs and that. Yeah. Ultimately,
if you manage in the Premier League and you do so with any level of success, you can go anywhere else in the world then.
Absolutely.
With that on your CV, you can go anywhere else in the world. You know, Marsh is going to get more work. He'll go to MLS or he'll go China or Middle East or somewhere. You know, he'll pick up work.
He won't be out of work. Or he's job.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to stay in England, doesn't
he? To why, though?
They announced it.
I feel like Marsh is one of these people who's like, it's all gone wrong, so now he's going to fucking show us, so he's going to come and get another job in England just so he can prove to everyone that he's not shit.
But I don't know how much of the Marsh links with Palace were just people hoping, because that's where that's where Ted's filmed, isn't it? It's filmed at the Palace ground. So, you know, that... Yeah, yeah. So that would have just been, you know, the icing on the cake for everybody that had called him.
That'd have ended him.
It really would.
People would have been saying, get the actual Ted Lasso in charge and do a better fucking job.
Just while we're on that, actually, is it worth a quick discussion on Palace and their chances? Because I think if anybody's struggling in that league in terms of form table, I imagine they're probably bottom of the form table. I don't know if anyone can pull that up, but
I think they are joint bottom with Forest.
Yeah. Right. Okay. But I mean, and we play them both at home soon. So, you know, that's going to happen. Don't you know, rewrite these.
we're going to improve their fortunes. You say
so-and-so hasn't won in 10 games. so-and-so hasn't scored in 25 games. Step up, score the winner.
There has never been a team since this team in 12 years not to have got promoted on top at Christmas.
Oh, insert name, insert Leeds here.
Yeah. I've still got in front of me the spread.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cheat, because I love a spreadsheet that I did with the relegation stuff on it. So I can tell you a Palace play. So in April, they have Leicester, Leeds, Southampton, Everton, Wolves, West Ham. And in May, they've got Spurs, Bournemouth, Fulham and Forest.
They've got kind running.
They really have got kind running. And this is what I was saying before is I'm a little bit mixed on how I want the rest of their season to pan out. Because you know what? If they win all of them except against us,
yeah,
all of those points are going to the all same place and not being shared around. So one team doing really well out of all of our relegation rivals actually helps us.
Yeah, and the reason the league is the way it is and so tight is because the points have been shared around. It's not been like there's been one or two shit teams. Even Southampton with one win could get out of the relegation zone at this point of the season. Yeah. It's crazy. I've never seen anything.
You've only
got
to look at us. You've only got to look at us. You know, we were 19th before Saturday kickoff. We're now in 14th.
Finished on 14th.
And we feel a fuck ton better, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just a bit.
But it is berserk. And it's like, there's no, like, there's usually a team that everyone just goes there and kicks crap out of them.
How do we think Roy's going to. How do we think Roy's going to sort of kickstart? Do we think. Obviously, they're going to get a bit of.
I don't think he will.
I think he will. I think he'll get a good response. He knows a lot of the players. I think he'll get a good response out of them.
Do you remember him being brought into Watford?
I remember him managing England.
When they played Palace.
No, manager.
When they played Palace and they went to Palace fans.
He did. Watford brought him in to save them and he didn't. That's my point. It's not that he doesn't have pedigree in the game. You know, he managed at Champions League sides. He's managed in the Champions League at more than one club. He managed England. He's got pedigree in the game. But Watford brought him in to save them and he laughed as they got relegated and clapped to the Palace fans. You know, that I mean, all right, yeah, it was to the Palace fans and it's Palace that he's been brought into. So there's an affinity there. I genuinely think they would have been better off keeping Vieira. If you look at the results that they've had and who they've had them against, and as you rightly said, they've got a kind run in. I think he'd have got more out of them than Roy will.
I think so. I think it was a massive mistake.
It's almost a similar sort of time and to when we sat Marcelo and then the argument we have about Marcelo. Either we had some easy, you know, we played four of the big six in a month and you know.
And yes, we got absolutely pumped by Man City and whatever else. You know, we shipped a shitload of 20 goals in four games or whatever mad stat it was. But Palace and their fans were celebrating the fact that what they'd done is they'd moved away from a manager that was stuck in his ways and that wasn't as progressive. He wasn't the young and up and coming hungry manager, and that's what they'd moved to. And now they've sacked him and brought in the actual dinosaur that they got rid of for him.
It's such a backwards, bizarre step.
Yeah,
but when a team stops playing for somebody, Gilly, you know how difficult. Or when they, I watch Palace at the. Did they play Arsenal at the weekend? Sunday.
Yeah, they got pumped, didn't they?
Yeah, I watched them against Arsenal, and the players just Zaha was the laziest player I've ever seen. Honestly, lazier than Viduka. I would say.
What about Lasoga?
Get in the box, you fat get.
Yeah, well done.
Glad you caught that.
And then he scored like that to, world, didn't he?
Oh, no, didn't you, like, you
know? Yeah.
I think they're in trouble. I do think they're in trouble. But as Gilly says, in for us and our perspective moving forward, it would be great if Palace won every game apart from beating us. Because they're already above us. You know, it's taking teams off all the teams below us. Where are we in the where we predicted, Gilly, in terms of the three or four games ago? What was the average gate?
No, we're only two.
Are we?
Two. So we said that we'd get an average between then. So we had, was it two? We had 12 games left.
Yeah, 11 points, didn't we?
I've updated it since then. So we had 13 when we first did it, and now we've got 11. So we've had two league games since.
Yeah.
And we had an average of 14 points from that point to the end of the season. And obviously...
1.08.
We're ahead of that.
Ish.
So we're ahead of the curve on what we said that we'd get. Because I think most people put down a draw against Wolves away.
Yeah, I did. Definitely.
That's why I'm...
I don't mean in Predictions League. I just mean... Because I didn't ask for everybody's results. I think when people were putting it forward, I think a lot of people have gone draw on that.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah. I mean, we're ahead of the average at least in terms of what we'd predicted, which is great. You know, I'd love to be even more wrong.
get us
even further wrong than that. That'd be great. So
just to. Sorry.
Go on.
Just to go back to the Gratia and the end of the season thing then, Robert said here, Leeds is the kind of club where we are a draw to come play, but are we that team of...
He's asking that.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Leeds are. We think they are. We're Leeds fans.
Historically, we are.
You know, we're Leeds fans. We think we're a massive club. We are a massive club, and we feel that we could... You know, we even had people realistically suggesting we could get Poch after March when we're in the nearly relegation zone.
Not a chance.
So the realism is in us. Are we a draw or are we currently, as we are, we're a bottom half Premier League side year on year. That's what we are at the moment. You know, until we get this investment and start buying better calibre players, are we that draw or would a better manager be, you know, that additional pull and that additional sort of anchor to try and get some better talent over the line? Because it almost comes hand in hand, and it's chicken egg, isn't it, sometimes? Because you can throw loads of money at a player and be in the bottom half of the table, but it won't work. But if you've got a manager that's well respected, you know, well renowned, and they can pull this player in, that's a catch, who ideally that they've identified, it's almost a win-win situation. So for me, the manager is very much important in that pull.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're a big factor in that, because you're trying to sell a vision to players now, aren't you? You're going to say, you know, this is the plan. This is what I want to do. These are the kind of players I'm planning to try and get in. I want you to be a part of that. You need a manager that can sell it to them. It's not just about coming to a club because it's a big club. If it's going to be in a relegation fight every season, who's going to want to do that?
Yeah, I think the other element as well is, if a player wants to play in a certain way and wants to be a part of a side that plays a certain way but also wants to play in a certain position, they need the assurances from a manager that they rate them and they're going to play them. You know, nobody gets the promise. I don't think anybody joins a side expecting to play every game, and if they do, they've probably got the Ronaldos about them. But I think... They need to be sold the approach by the manager that he's saying, you know, you're going to have I rate you as a player, and you're going to have as good a crack as anybody. You work hard and you prove yourself, and you'll earn your shirt. And equally, you know, you look at we've spoken at length about Jack Harrison. Regardless of his capabilities so far this season, we know that we had a manager that didn't fancy playing wingers. He played wingers, but he played them in positions that they didn't relish. And I think...
Gilly, before you continue, why the fuck did our director of football bring a guy in to a club full of wingers who didn't want to play with wingers?
Because he was a natural successor.
Fuck off.
We've been tracking him for 2 years. What about bringing his assistant in who's no longer here, who thought we thought he was still here?
Chris Armas, with that guy who you see like on the like fucking comedies where they're in a school fucking cafeteria and he's sat on his own in the corner with his tray.
He's a bit of a sycophant, like, knows everybody, and he's just hanging around like just talking to everybody. What are you doing here? You got sacked last week. Why are you still here?
Shh, I've not told my missus yet.
Just driving anyway. Her to work every day, going home yeah. and just burning petrol just so his missus just thinks he's been to he's got a
drive to the gate at Thorpe Arch and just watches while he eats his sandwiches.
You're not allowed anymore.
Sorry, Gillian. Go on.
No, you're fine. No, so I think just the other bit. Not only does a player want to know that the manager wants him. You know, not that the manager's going to play him every game, but the manager's involved in the decision to bring a player to the club and therefore has seen something in that player. The player wants to feel that way. So it's not just whether it's a big name draw. It's also about whether that manager and the club is a good fit for the incoming player or the prospective incoming player. I think just as an extension to slightly move, are we done on... you didn't really give your opinion on it, did you, Luke?
Yeah, no, I felt I did. I'm similar to you. I think I feel more strongly towards that he's given a chance, I think, regardless. And if the 49ers do come in and they all, you know, if they absolutely just rip up the form book and just say, right, we're buying, you know, fucking world-class players here, there and everywhere, again, that's where I'd probably be debating it. It depends how much they're willing to invest in that first transfer window and who they want to pick those players, because I assume Auto won't be doing it if the 49ers come in.
Yeah, you'd think not. You know, they've got their own views on things, you expect, and you know, it won't actually be the 49ers. Well, it'll be an investment group and they'll have the people that they want to represent them, and you know, they'll already have ideas on all of that. So yeah, I expect that there'll be fairly major changes at the club should that happen.
I would expect them to have already sounded all those people out that they're going to want with an organisation like that.
If it's happening in summer, then, you know, no, I would say no two ways about it. They'll have that prepped and they'll be in position. Probably with contracts ready to be signed and all of that sort of stuff. Because
they'll have all the finances lined up. It'll all be accounted for.
Yeah. So I just wanted to go back to a point that you made, Jay, around, well, I mean, it, we're going back quite a bit, so the thought might have gone from your mind by now, but I'll ask you both. I think that in previous transfer windows, certainly in previous summers, it's been really, really obvious to me and to many others, I would say, where we needed to strengthen in terms of personnel.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I think now, all right, Ruta's not really at the ground running, but we've spent a lot of money on him. And I think that we are starting to see some capability from him, maybe not at that level when you think he's the most expensive player we've ever bought. He should be the best player we've ever bought. And it doesn't really work like that, does it? So, you know, a lot of that is potential. Frustratingly to us at the time, because we were buying potential and we needed it immediately for a relegation battle. But I think we are starting to see some things from him. So we bought a forward. You know, we've seen that in a positional sense, in a not man marking anymore and tracking your man and so on, that Firpo can have a positive impact on a game. We've strengthened in midfield. It had been so long since he's signed midfielders, and then we've signed three in one season, and all of a sudden our midfield looks better. Who could have seen that coming? You know, for me, it was so obvious in seasons gone where we needed to strengthen, and now I'm not as certain it is quite as obvious as it was previously. So, Jay, it was your point I picked up on. I can't remember what you said now, but
me neither.
Where would you strengthen first? If you've got, let's say, a reasonable amount of money, and when we're saying reasonable, I'm talking Premier League amounts. So you're talking somewhere between 20 and 30 million per player.
Yeah.
Where do you target?
I would probably upgrade Rocker, even though I think he's decent, but I think that's a position that could be improved. Right back is a must. Ayling's given his all, but his limitations are there for all to see, really. You know, he's all heart, but we need something better going forward. So right back and sort of probably centre mid, I'd still get another one. And then it's going to be a striker, I guess.
But hang on a minute. I only offered you two. You said midfield, right back, and then striker.
Stick with midfield and right back then. I was going to say, but we have got Ruta, and like you say, he's starting to show a bit of ability. I think there is something there, but I think it's going to be a couple of years before he's like the guy who you can put the weight on his shoulders, if ever, you know, if he's ever that guy. But yeah, right back and another centre mid for me, because McKennie's pretty solid, but he's not been spectacular so far. So it's a bit worrying that we're going to spend 30 mil on him. And Rocker, again, he's been fairly solid, but not spectacular.
We already own these players, Jay. You don't have to sign these again, you know?
No, I'm just saying.
We don't own McKennie, do we? He's on loan.
There
is an obligation, isn't there?
Yeah. I'm just saying that's a place in the team I could see someone coming in and starting ahead of one of the existing players, basically. Mm. Right back and centre mid.
Okay. Luke?
For me, I think it depends who's managing us and what style we're hoping to play. I think if we improve that team, we probably don't play a similar style of football. Even under Gratia, I think if we improve that team, we probably play a little bit more attacking. And as it is now, I would say a creative midfielder, somebody who can unlock defences. And an Eze type player, I think a number 10, somebody. I think that ship's well sailed. I think we could probably do better than that now. In fact, even
you mean someone to finally replace Pablo,
a McAllister type player.
Coleslaw's made the comment there. A central attacking midfielder, someone of Pablo ilk.
Yeah, somebody, but even not somebody, even if it's not somebody coming up towards the end of their career, somebody even a bit younger, that's good. That, you know, that's somebody that's shining from it. I mean, I don't care where it comes from. We are missing. That is our biggest problem position right now as it stands. You know, you look at the team and that is where we struggle. Is Aronson stepped in there and the new style under Gratia, where he's asked to defend as part of a front two, he does it tirelessly. But he has not got that killer pass. And he hasn't. He just doesn't have that football brain to be able to do what Pablo could do and that sort of thing. So that'd be my first position. And then I think a natural either. I'm torn here between a right wing back and a right winger because we don't have anybody naturally who's good out there.
Jack Harrison played all right there against Wolves.
It's the best game of the season, to be fair. But
make him fucking stay there.
Yeah, he's not. but actually, he's played there a couple of times and been awful previously. So I think it'd be somebody, probably ideally a left-footed right winger, somebody of real class, or right wing back, somebody who can, you know, Ayling's great, been a great servant, but I think we can slightly improve on Luke Ayling. As well, even though you think he's been class and more than earned his new contract. So somebody for the right side and somebody for the attacking midfield for me, Gilly.
Yeah. He's absolutely a manual keeper at the club, isn't he, Luke Ayling? But you need someone fresher.
Oh, he's great. He's great. You've only got to look at his movement for that goal at the weekend. And, you know, he's an intelligent footballer. He's aging, and you know he's picking up knocks, but he's also a leader as well. So you've also almost got to take that into consideration. So, look, if I knew the answer, I'd be getting paid a lot more money than what I do. So, but that's the two. I think that's the two I'd be eyeing up.
Just back to what you said there, Gilly. Madison, I would absolutely have him.
Yeah, I think if Leicester go down this season, I mean he's gone. No two ways about
Newcastle
it.
Newcastle will sign him.
But yeah, he'll go for mega money, even if they're relegated, won't he? Because there'll be a lot of interest in him. I think the other interesting one would be Harvey Barnes.
Harvey Barnes. I
think Madison's stock has gone down a little in the last year or two, but maybe.
I think he's played really, really well in a really struggling team. So I would probably disagree with that.
I agree with that part, but it just seems like there's not as much talk around him these days.
The Harvey Barnes is a good one, but again, he's a left winger.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if we signed Harvey Barnes, would he just score own goals every time he played?
Because all he does is score against Leeds.
Basically. Colin knows how to do. It's like you were bred to play against Leeds and score goals.
I couldn't have any of that. It does me head in.
Does my head in, just because it sounds like a place.
Yeah, Dewsbury all should be a big mansion in Dewsbury.
Exactly.
It's where Smarty lives.
Well, Smarty lives in caravan. His missus lives in house.
that was one that just occurred to me, because I think, like I said in the past, you know, we were crying out for a striker that's going to come in a bag. Rod's done that this season. We've signed Ruta. We've got Sinny that certainly can do a job in the 10, I think, even though he came in as a winger. Willie's played second striker before, and we've seen how capable he is on the ball. I'd be really confident of putting him in as a support forward if we needed to be able to do that. I think maybe we are.
Any attacking position on the pitch.
Yeah, basically. I think we are maybe slightly short still in a 9 shirt, purely on the principle that when everybody's fit, we're fine. But we've seen, you know, Rodrigo's, 32 now? And yeah, scoring goals this season, but he's had a few games. He's had, 2-3 periods of injury this season. Paddy, he's made a biscuit. So, you know, relying on them both being available for an entire season, I think it goes back to the conversations we're having at the start of this season. And then just after the start of the season, Paddy got injured and then Rodrigo got injured. And it's like, fucking hell, lads, what do we do now? So, you know, relying on them two being available, it doesn't feel like we do anymore, especially, you know, Willie stripping any expectation of him.
Willie stripping?
That was supposed to be outstripping. you know, he's gone over and above what anybody could have expected in terms of output this season. Jimmy's had a bit of a coming-of-age season as well, I would say. I think prior to this season, he'd not really had the impact. Could see a capability.
With Jimmy, it's either him or Nonto. I don't think we can afford to play both of them at the same time, because they are both young, raw, and don't work hard enough in defence for me.
Yeah, but you know, in terms of attacking, you could probably move one or the other of them further forward and then compensate for that. I think they've both got the technical ability to be able to do that. And then you look at the under-21s and, you know, we've got some, you know, we've got Perkins and we've got Joseph. And, you know, we've got some capability there as well that look like they've got big futures. So it doesn't feel like we've got the gap there that we used to have. But it is that asterisk of when everybody's fit. And for me, that's you know, going into next season, that's probably counter to what I was actually saying at the start of the question. That's probably where I'd be looking, because I don't think you can, you know, if Rodrigo's 33 by the start of next season and Paddy's still made out of biscuit, what are you going to do? You know, you can't rely on them both being available all season. And for me, if you bring in somebody that's 26, 27, 28 and has bagged for 2 seasons, you know, Brereton Diaz was somebody that I said I didn't really fancy because he's never played above Championship and he's had 1 good season. But actually, if you look at somebody that's that sort of age, I think he's a bit younger than that, isn't he? But, you know, he's broken onto international. Is he, 24 now, is he?
I think he's even younger. I think he's 22.
Younger than that. But, you know, internationally, he's scored some goals and you know, knocking some away. There'd been talk of Gyökeres. I don't know how you pronounce his name. I've probably absolutely ruined
Gyökeres,
that.
Gyökeres, no, that's right.
You know, he's carried on bagging. I mean, coleslaw and toast here. Osimhen from Napoli. I mean, absolute dreamland, because there's going to be very little, very few names that are going to be hotter property at the end of this season than that lad. But yeah, so you know, there's players out there. But I think for me, it would be there. That I would focus on, which probably counted to what I was saying before, but that's because we've got Paddy playing at the moment and Rodrigo's back and he's coming on a sub for him. But you can't rely on them both being available all the time, can you? We've seen that.
No.
I'm terrified of losing one of them again during this running.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
They are very different.
Yeah, they're both had something completely different dynamics in terms of, you know, Paddy, an absolute nightmare for defenders. Rodrigo, plays on the last man. Great, you know, clinical, great finisher. But rewind 12 months and we're not saying that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Everyone wanted rid of Rodrigo. Now he's the saviour.
Hang on, detail. We should be going for Jude Bellingham. Could be a good Rocker replacement. All right, I did say Osimhen's probably one of the hottest properties. Yeah, Bellingham's the other one, isn't he? I mean, he's even more so. So yeah, McAllister's gonna. You know, you mentioned him, Luke. He's going to attract a lot of attention, but I think that's because of the club he's at. Mm. It's not necessarily because he'd be more highly rated than Bellingham. It's just Brighton will be seen as a team that he can be poached from, won't they? And you know, I think they are a club that if you spend the money, you get the player that you want. It's just that they're going to insist on you spending the right level of money, which absolutely they've done that well. It's a good model for them, isn't it? But yeah, to touch on your point, Luke, about Rodrigo, I mean that finish at the weekend was astounding. But now when he gets in, we almost expect it.
Yeah,
you know, there's a confidence in him. Once he's fashioned that position, you're thinking, right, well, he's going to put that away then. And then he does.
I love that.
When was the last time we had that?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find out.
Not since Bamford scored his 17 goals.
Yeah.
That was the last time.
And that was because the season before he'd scored 16, wasn't it? And it looked like he were going to do that, yeah.
And you looked like you were going to be a consistent top-level striker at that point.
Rodrigo is equal seventh top goal scorer in the league, bearing in mind how long he's been out injured for. He's got 11 goals this season so far.
Isn't he only behind Haaland in terms of goals against minutes?
Yes.
Which is just, that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, mental. It is, it's incredible.
That's crazy.
So you're right, Brereton Diaz is 23. I thought he were a bit older than that. I don't think he's had as good a season this season as he did last, has he? But you know, somebody of that ilk, somebody that is an up and coming player, but has bagged for a couple of seasons, even if it's not in one of the top five leagues, but knows what's going on, knows where it's at, and has proven that they can score. But I'm just having a look now. Yeah, he's scored 12 this season. Gyökeres is on 18. Akpom's on 24. Yeah, no, I think maybe there. I think there's a couple of starred messages to work through. I don't know which one of you has been starring them. Does one of you just want to pick up?
Yeah, I'll fly through quickly. Yeah. Selenium, series 328 from really early on tonight. Time we got a proper job. We do this for the fun of it. Can you believe it, Selenium? We do this for the fun.
We do. I see that someone's unstarred the message that I starred where Paul said...
Yeah, there was loads of unstarred because they were just not relevant anymore. Eric Backer's Left Knacker. First time seeing the show live. Usually listen on Spotify. Such a good show. Cheers, Eric Backer's Left Knacker. Anytime.
Will you be joined by the right knacker at any point? Or are you playing solo?
You're a right knacker. You're already here.
That was good for you.
Mike Jones, really quickly, lads. Question for you. Prediction for the next four games, points-wise. So we play Arsenal away, Palace at home. Forest at home, Palace at home, Liverpool at home. Quickly.
We do.
How many points?
10.
Fuck off.
What were that? Arsenal, Palace, Forest and Liverpool.
Arsenal away, Forest at home, Palace at home, Liverpool at home.
8.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
I'm going for a draw. Against Arsenal, Liverpool.
I'm going for six or seven.
You're going for six. Is that seven and six together?
Seven.
I hope we get a draw against two home games, don't we? Three. The two
before Liverpool.
Okay.
And I still think we'll pick up a point either end of that, so either at Arsenal or Liverpool. If we shock both of them as well, man, we might as well get his passports renewed.
So I you know, maybe it's a little tongue in cheek in terms of the 10. I think 9's more likely because Arsenal are flying, but it'd be great to get a draw there. But it's a throwback, isn't it? Because if you remember, 2002 battling relegation, we managed to stay up, we went to Ibury, we won, Viduka with his gorgeous chip at the end of it was a bit heart over head on that one. I don't see us getting anything against Arsenal, to be honest, but if we did, it'd be amazing. I do think Liverpool are shit and I can't stand them, so we ought to be beating them. And Forest and Palace, both at home, I think we ought to be beating
Liverpool
them.
Just spanked Scum 7-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're inconsistent as fuck.
Yeah, they are inconsistent. They are inconsistent. So we've knocked that one off. Next one then. When we get the 49ers cast, would you take Marino or Conte at Ellen Road if the possibility arose? Absolutely not for me. Not a chance on this earth.
No.
No, wait, and I'll tell you for why. I'll tell you for why, because well, Conte is a Conte. there's no way he should be throwing those players and board under the bus publicly at all. That's done behind closed doors. He's an absolute bell end for that, and it's not on.
I think the only thing that you can say about that is that he might have already tried that two or three times and not had a response. That's the only thing, maybe.
But so even I still think that is, and Mourinho, I just never liked him. He's great. I mean, he's done well. He's got a lot, you know. He's got a great CV and that, but he's just not the type of manager that would suit us. We pride ourselves side before self, you know, all together, and neither of those managers are about that for me.
Certainly, Mourinho. I mean, yeah, Conte. I would say he's not quite as bad as Mourinho. Mourinho is about, he's the big I am, he's the ego. It's about him, and you're absolutely right. Side before self does not come onto his radar at all, does it?
No.
Serial winners, but they do it in such a way that is not consistent with our club, I would say. So I don't think they'd be a good fit. You know, Nigel Clough? Not Nigel Clough. Clough.
Brian.
Yeah, he'd won, and he was highly thought of in the game, but he did not fit our club. So it doesn't matter how good you are. If you're not a good fit, you're not a good fit. So I would probably say no.
Yeah.
What is going on, Luke? Is that your house?
It got a little off-putting, but I can't blame Nigel on that, I'm afraid. I can't get away with that one.
She's locked in the cellar waiting for me.
It sounds like someone's having a fight with a dog.
No, absolutely none of those. Anyway, one last comment. Obviously, we've got a couple of lads representing England youth in Giabi, and Sonny Perkins as well have gone to England youth. I was speaking to a guy today at work. You'll be pleased to know it's not Hal Robson-Kanu's dad. But it was a guy who is he's a youth coach at a club relatively close to me, and he's been all about. He's been at Norwich, he's been at Leighton Orient, and been at a few others. And he's seen Giabi play a few times. And in his perspective and in his professional view, which I understand, he thinks he can be as good as Yaya Toure.
Well,
we were talking about today. He also thinks Sonny Perkins will make it massively, which right. I would probably agree. He coached Sonny Perkins, I think, at Leighton Orient. I think that sort of shocked me a little bit about Giabi, because we have seen him and we sort of underappreciate probably how young he is when we're asking him to play against Fulham and who else did he play against? Cardiff and things like that. But
Willie Donto managed.
It's a different sort of game playing in the middle of the park for 90 minutes and running back and forward. And but look, it's Gray's gone as well. Archie Gray has gone. Apologies.
Just want to pick this one up. So we'll just break off for this and then go back to it. What's with the Italy England match called off due to threats from the ultras? When I read it, Italy and England's fans were going to have a game. And the fans' game has been cancelled because the ultras were apparently talking up what they were going to do with that game. So the Italy-England game's not been cancelled. It was the fans against fans game that's been cancelled.
Brilliant.
Imagine that, just turning up for a good old game of 90-minute Sunday League football and somebody running on and throwing a flare in your face.
No pyro, no party.
Jesus Christ. They're absolutely fucked, these people, in the head, aren't they? Like, you know what I mean?
They are.
Did you see the Frankfurt lot the other week in Naples last week? Throwing shit about and that, you know, fucking...
Well, yeah, we were having a look at that together, because I was saying I would not fancy being Polizia tonight.
No, man, imagine... Getting on a plane, knowing that you're just going to go into a square and start throwing cafe tables at each other and fucking...
and
what do you get out of it like? You know what
it's
I mean?
It's nuts, isn't it? It's nuts.
But not just one or two, Jay. Thousands of the bastards.
I know.
Thousands of them.
What are you supposed to do?
It looked like a military operation, did it?
It did. I don't know how we've managed to speak for 77 minutes on this shit tonight. We haven't even talked about an upcoming game or anything, because we haven't got a game yet.
Hey, Gilly's cursed it. Robert says that's it. Gilly says we're getting.
Oh, it's going to be remembered now. I did say that'd be Dreamland, but I'll stick by it. I said it. I'll stick it. Just the last bit that we'd normally look at would be next game, which I've, as you've just identified, we don't have. And then the other bit would have been Orton Obita. Normally, this is my time to shine. I've had so much fun with Wolves fans this week. I've not found anything to be bitter about at all, to be honest. Have you guys got anything?
No, I've been in a great mood since that win and reading all the shit on Twitter since. It's just, I'm still buzzing, to be honest with you. I can't be upset about it.
No, mate, I'm in a good place. You know, I'm 21 days into this detox in Malarkey. Still not had a drop of caffeine or alcohol. I've been to two, three games in that time.
Okay, now.
Just chilling at the minute. Can't wait. Oh, the first of April.
No, hang on. The one thing you can get pissed off at Sky, can't you? Because didn't you have something planned for after Palace game, and now they've shifted it.
Yeah, well, it happens, doesn't it? It's not the end of the world. I'm still going to get absolutely pissed out of my head. So, if you are under 18, please don't use me as a barometer. I'm actually all right. I mean, Sky. I mean, of all the games they could have changed, it had to be ours, didn't it? You know what I mean? They could have picked any. It's the City. It's because of City, I think, who play in the Champions League. They could have moved any of the other games, but who gives a fuck anyway? It's done with now. But on that note, and how good my mental health is at the minute, can I just quickly mention something that that comes in?
This
that's the one. Yeah, the Andy's Man Club are doing a short walk and talk. It's not actually part. I mean, it is part of Andy's Man Club, and they're just going to all get together. It's a bit of a meet and greet. You can bring your dogs along. They're doing it at Middleton Park on Sunday the 26th, which I believe is this coming Sunday. this coming Sunday. So there's no football or anything, no excuses. Meet at the car park next to the visitor centre and then back to the cafe for a cup of coffee or tea. Everyone's welcome. Fetch your poochers and have a little bit of a chat and a walk and, you know, let a bit of steam off.
They have some steam, Bennett. As Arnold Schwarzenegger once said.
He said what?
Let off some steam, Bennett. It's from Commando.
Did he not say, I'll be back?
He said that as well. He said that as well.
And give me your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
You know what? I'm going to bring it to a close because once we get into movie quotes, we could just go on for hours, but everybody else would get really pissed off. Just last chance. Anything else to mention?
If I add, it's gone. So
no, absolutely not. I think we're going to struggle for a B and C this week with there being no game. but I think I am due actually to play Joe Weinman on FIFA live at some point. So if anybody wants to tune in and watch that, I don't know when. Or we're going to get it organised over the international break just to keep it ticking over. So you're more than welcome to come and watch me kick Joe's ass.
Me and Gilly come and commentate.
Like Fan Zone. Do you remember Fan Zone on Sky?
That race.
That's all.
How about Joe? No offense.
Great. He probably plays it a lot more than I do, to be fair. Other than that, are we going to have a pod next Tuesday? We've got out to talk about. We will have the prep for Arsenal, won't we? So we'll be able to talk
We will
about
have,
that.
Yeah. We'll,
yeah,
we'll,
be we'll, back next
we'll have
something
for next week. Yeah, no problem. I think Carl was trying to get somebody interested in doing a B&C about the England-Italy game, but I don't think anybody would have taken for that one. So Carl can get in the bin with his Uri on.
yeah, that's true. Willie Monto, though. I think I'd be more happy if he plays well than England.
Yeah,
I don't give a fuck.
England are dead to me till they get rid of Southgate.
Ooh.
Okay.
I don't mean that.
Right. We're not going to get into England anyway because I don't think any of us really give a shit. It's just nice to be able to get our coach to be able to have some time with the squad. And then let's get back and give Arsenal a good hiding. So on that note, we shall bid you adieu. Thank you, everybody, for getting involved in the comments and watching, listening, all of the engagement that we get. It's brilliant for us because we want to be able to put out a bit of content there that you guys like. So comment, subscribe, do all of that shit. And thanks very much, everyone.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke aftermatch podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.